truly enjoy reading the Bible, and one of the reasons that I love to read the Bible is because of all the flawed, messed up characters that are described in those pages. Outside of the person of Jesus Christ, who we know was God in the flesh and was perfect in his holiness, perfect in his behavior, most of the people we find in Scripture, they're really just like you and I, aren't they? Man, there are times they act in complete faithfulness. There are times they do things right. There are times they show just great trust in who God is. And then there are times they doubt, and times they fall away, and times they messed up, and they waver between belief and unbelief. The Bible is full of people just like you and I. We are people capable of doing very great things when we put our trust in God. We are people capable of making an eternal difference when our lives are based on His grace and His plan and His idea for what life is all about. And yet, we are also people capable of falling flat on our faces over and over again. I know I've been there, and I'm sure you have been there as well. With that in mind, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to the prophet Jonah. We've been in a study now for the past couple weeks titled, Our Compassionate God. And we've been looking at how God's compassion is being displayed in Jonah and through Jonah, even though he oftentimes falls flat on his face. Jonah is a person just like you and I. He struggled with God's purpose for his life. Sometimes he willfully disobeyed God's very clear instruction. And yet God worked his compassion into his life, and he used his imperfect choices to display his compassion to other people. We saw in our first study that God gave Jonah a very clear calling. He gave him a very clear direction. He gave him a very clear purpose. Get up and go to Nineveh. Preach to this people that need my word. And yet Jonah did the exact opposite and ran in a different direction. Last week in chapter 1, verses 4 through 16, we saw that there were consequences for Jonah's actions. There were consequences for him personally. There were consequences for the people that were around him. And we saw that Jonah struggled to recognize just how personal and loving God is, but also how authoritative and powerful God is. And instead of simply submitting to his will and going back and sharing the gospel with Nineveh and sharing God's word with Nineveh, we saw that Jonah would rather jump overboard or be thrown overboard into a raging sea than simply submit to the will of God. And so we last left Jonah when he was thrown into the raging sea. But God in his sovereignty, God is in his control. God had other plans for Jonah's life. And I'm so thankful for that. Because many times like Jonah, man, I've just jumped overboard. I've done my own thing. I followed my own path. I've decided that I was God and God was not. And I was not going to submit to him. And I'm going to do my own thing. And I had to wallow in my own storms and wallow in my own mistakes. But God is a God who continually comes after us. And God is a God who is sovereign. God is a God that is in control. God is a God who has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And we're going to see today in chapter 1, verse 17, going through chapter 2, verse 10, that God had some lessons he wanted Jonah to learn, and they're lessons we need to learn as well. So let's go ahead and take our Bibles, and let's read chapter 1, verse 17 through chapter 2, verse 10, and then we'll pray and ask God to guide us into his word. The Bible says, Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There was an author by the name of R.T. Kendall, and R.T. Kendall said that the belly of a fish is not a good place to live, but it's a really good place to learn. Sometimes we've got to put ourselves in bad situations in order to learn what God is going to teach us. Chapter 2, verse 1, From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And then we have a really kind of inglorious verse, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask for his guidance. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for its authority. We thank you so much for its guidance. We thank you so much that the Bible shows us over and over again that you are working in our lives, that our experience shows us over and over again that you are at work in our lives. You are seeking us. You are desiring to show your compassion to us. You are desiring for us to take your compassion and show it to other people. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as we examine these verses in greater detail, as we look at the lessons that you wanted Jonah to learn, that we would learn those lessons as well. Thank you, Father, that even though we are people who at times show faithfulness and at times don't, you still love us. You are working in our lives. You want to involve us in your work. And Father, help us to remember that. Help us to come in contact with your compassion and to take your compassion to other people. Thank you again so much for the book of Jonah. Holy Spirit, guide us into your word. We love you. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, now, you'll notice here in this passage that in chapter 1, verse 17, and in chapter 2, verse 10, the book of Jonah mentions that great fish. Now, most of us know the book of Jonah. We automatically call it Jonah being swallowed by the whale or Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. And that's the main detail that we know this particular story for. And I actually think that's a little bit unfortunate. This great fish is only mentioned twice in this entire book, and yet for some reason it has just become the main point of emphasis in this book for many people. There are so many liberal scholars out there who would deny the historicity of this book simply because they cannot believe that a fish could actually swallow someone. Now, I don't know. I'm a fisherman. I've caught some pretty big fish, and they might could swallow somebody. But a lot of people would deny the historicity of this book simply based on two verses. On the other end of the spectrum, there are very conservative scholars, and I've read some of their books, and they will spend page after page after page trying to prove scientifically why something like this could happen. I'm convinced that both approaches are wrong. Both approaches miss the point of what this text is all about. For one, I don't need to believe what the liberal scholars believe. I believe God is a God who can do anything. If he can speak the world into existence, if he can save my soul, he can send a fish to swallow somebody. That doesn't bother me. I believe in a God of miracles. I believe in a God who can work within this world. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I don't need science to prove this for me. I don't need conservative arguments to show me why this could happen. I put my faith in what God can do, and I'm really not worried about whether that can be proved scientifically or not. This fish, like many other details in this book, is simply meant to highlight one, or basically two things. Number one, God is in control of anything. God can control the wind. God can control the waves. God can control the lots that were cast that we looked at last week. God can control the fish. God is sovereign. God is in control, and he can shape human events for his purposes and for his glory. And number two, I think this also shows us that God will do whatever it takes to seek and to find us. He will use whatever means necessary to display his compassion, to teach us lessons, to make his will known in our lives. And that means if you're going to be swallowed by a fish and that's how he's going to get your attention, that's exactly what he's going to do. Because the Bible shows us over and over again, and Jonah shows us over and over again, that the God we worship, the God of the Bible, is the God that seeks us. Let's explore that a little bit more as we look back at chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says that the Lord provided. It could also be translated, the Lord ordained. The Lord purposed that a huge fish would swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The God we serve is a God who seeks us out, and that God will do whatever it takes to get our attention and to focus us on his will. You know what that means? At times, God will deliver us from great trouble so that we will give him praise. At times, God will allow great trouble in our lives so that he will humble us and focus us on his attention. At times, God will bring people into our lives that will speak to us the word of God and teach us and direct us. At times, God will take certain people out of our lives who are distracting us or who are holding us back. God will use whatever means necessary in order to get our attention to him in our lives. He sent a fish to Jonah. What is he going to do in our lives? I believe the perfect example in Scripture that highlights this idea of God seeking us is Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was not just a teacher, he was not just a man, but he was God in flesh. That the God of this universe, the God in control of great fishes, the God in control of the wind and the seas, the creator of heaven and earth, stepped into human flesh just so he could know us, just so he could save us, just so he could live amongst us and get our attention. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, these people come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, give us a sign. Show us that you're who you say you are." And Jesus said, "Guys, I've been doing this all along. I've been performing miracles. I've been teaching. No, I'm not going to give you a sign. Oh, wait a minute. I'll give you one sign. It's the sign of Jonah." He uses this particular story to get the point across. He said, "Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man, me, Jesus Christ, is going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights." And in essence, he's saying, "Are you paying attention? I'm here seeking you. I'm here trying to show my salvation. I'm preaching the good news. I'm dying on the cross and rising from the grave for you. Are you paying attention to the God who seeks you? Are you paying attention to the God who seeks?" You may be here this morning and you may have been in church your entire life and you may know the Bible somewhat, but maybe you have never actually realized that God actually loves you. He is seeking you. He loves you desperately. And if you have never put your faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you, do it now. Pay attention to the God who seeks you. Now, maybe many of you here this morning are probably Christians. And you know what? We may be Christians and we may belong to God and he'll never let us go. But there are times we run off, don't we? There are times we kind of go off into the far country. There are times we make our own decisions and do our own things. And when we're just like Jonah and we run away, God is still seeking us. God still loves us. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to worship him. He wants to direct our lives because he's the one who created us and knows what our lives should be about. And so the same challenge is for you, Christian. If you are running from God right now, turn around and run back. Run back to him because he is seeking you out. He desires to know you. He desires to use you for his glory. God is a God who seeks us, and he will do whatever it takes to get our attention. It seems like in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, that Jonah begins to learn this lesson. And so Jonah offers up a prayer to God. In fact, this prayer is written like a lot of the Psalms in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. And basically every line in this psalm can be found in other psalms. And so Jonah is praying the Bible back to God. And in this prayer, there are some things he gets right. There are some lessons he is learning. But there are also some inadequacies. There are also some things he's getting wrong. And it challenges us to look at the way we pray and the way we worship. So let's look at verses 2 through 9 and what Jonah got right and what Jonah got wrong. First of all, in verses 1 through 7, Jonah is very right to affirm that it is God alone who has brought him up from this great tragedy. Verses 1 through 7 seem to be a psalm of thanksgiving for drowning. Jonah knew he was sinking down to the depths of the sea. He knew he was going towards death. Anybody ever been close to drowning? I have. It is a frightening experience. I remember one time as a child, I was swimming in a swim pool and somebody like pushed me out in deeper water. And at 8 years old, I saw my life flash before my eyes, and I knew it was over from that point on. I was just sinking down. And I don't know who did it, but somebody came behind me and pushed me up to the wall. And when I turned around, there was no one there. So I don't really know who did that. But drowning is an absolutely terrifying thing, all right? It's not something you want to experience. And Jonah seems to recognize that. In verses 1 through 7, he thanks God for rescuing him from this drowning. He says, man, you know, you hurled me into the depths, the waves, the breakers, they were coming over me. I was banished from your sight, but I said, I will look again toward your holy temple. And then we get down to verse 8, and he says, man, to the roots of the mountain I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. So Jonah is very right to give thanks to God for lifting him up from the pit. You know, there are many times in our lives where we come out of a tragedy or we come out of a difficulty, and it is God who is the author of that. It is God who is the one who strengthens us, who brings us up. There have been times in my life where I have just felt like I was sinking down spiritually. I've been sinking down emotionally, sinking down financially, and yet somehow God in his grace has lifted me up, and it is good for us to praise God for that. We are Americans, and we like to believe we can lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but we can't. Sometimes we don't have any straps to grab onto. It's God who lifts us up. It's God that we need to give thanks for. It's God that we need to recognize, and Jonah seems to recognize that. Then in verses 8 through 9, Jonah basically says the theme verse of this book. He says in verse 9, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. I will say that salvation comes from the Lord. That's the theme verse of this entire book, and Jonah is right to recognize that. We can't save ourselves. We can't offer grace to ourselves. We can't save our souls. We can't give our lives the purpose that God can give us. Salvation comes from the Lord alone. We look to other people for salvation. We look to addictions for salvation. We look to hobbies for salvation. We look to education for salvation, but salvation comes from the Lord alone, and Jonah is right to recognize this, and we need to recognize this as well. But there's some things Jonah gets wrong here. Do you remember that up to this point, Jonah has just willfully disobeyed God? He has not followed his instructions. He has slept while other people were perishing. He has willfully disobeyed God. Where is confession in this psalm? Has Jonah confessed his sins? Has he had a true change of heart? Or is he just thankful for what God has done for him? Is it a little bit of selfish worship? I think so. We find that here in this text. Jonah is very thankful that God has saved him. Jonah is very thankful for what God has done for him. But is he willing to offer that same hope and that same compassion to others? So here's the challenge for us today. We come to church and we sing praise and we worship and we read scripture and we pray, and all of those things are excellent and we need to do this. I think it's essential for Christians to come together and sing and worship, but our worship doesn't mean much if we aren't going outside these four walls and offering the hope of Christ to others. Are we just thankful for what God has done for us, or are we truly thankful and want to go and share what he has done with those in need? And so Jonah gets some things right, and he gets some things wrong. But even in all his misunderstanding, God still offers him a second chance, even though it's a little bit inglorious. Look at verse 10 with me. The Bible says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, I don't think I have to do a whole lot of word study here to tell you that the word vomit is not exactly the most positive word in Scripture, all right? Every time this particular Hebrew word is used in Scripture, it's negative. People are staggering about in their own vomit. They are drunk and staggering about in their own vomit. They are being vomited out by God. It's a very negative term, and it could be that this is kind of how God views Jonah's prayer here. He gets some things right, but he's still in an attitude of selfishness, and it's just kind of vomitous to God, and he just spits him out. And yet, in this very inglorious scene, there is a second chance. Jonah is still given a second chance. And when I look at this verse, it's easy for me to really kind of condemn Jonah and go, man, how'd you get that wrong? But if I am honest about my own life, I have had to wade through the filth and vomit of my own bad decisions time and time again. And yet through it all, through my disobedience, through my mistakes, God is a God of compassion, and God is a God who still offers second chances. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God not only offers second chances, he offers third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and onward and onward. That is the God that we serve. He is a God who offers second chances. So as we look at this passage today, I want us to remember that God is a God who seeks us. God is a God who is passionate about finding us, and he will use whatever means necessary in order to get our attention. And he desires for us to worship him with thanksgiving, to worship him with praise, to worship him for what he has done in our lives. But we also need to worship him with confession, recognizing that he is right and we are wrong, agreeing with him in those things. We also need to worship him by actively going out and serving him and sharing that grace and that hope with others. And we always need to remember that even when we mess up, even when we fall, and we will because we are people, God is a God of second chances. He desires to show us his compassion, and he desires for us to take that compassion to others. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Let's spend some time just thinking about the lessons that Jonah is trying to learn, the lessons that we need to learn in this passage. Do you recognize today that right now in this very place, God is seeking you? He desires to give his grace to you. He desires to get your attention. That's why you're here this morning. This is no accident. God desires to get your attention. Maybe he's trying to get your attention and say, you know what? You've never put your faith and trust in me. Do that now. Confess with your heart, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. Put your trust in who God is and realize that he loves you dearly. Christians here this morning, maybe you've run away. You're here this morning. That's a great thing, but maybe your life outside of this building is just not reflecting what God would have your life look like. Maybe you're living your life based on your decisions and that you're in charge and that you're the one that sets the direction. God is trying to get your attention right now and say, follow me. Submit to my way of leading. I created you. I know what your purpose is. I know how you're meant to function. Follow me. Everyone here this morning, God is seeking you out. He is seeking me out right now. This is just as much for me as it is for you. Recognize this morning that God is seeking you. Next, let's think about the way we pray and the way we worship. Are we giving thanks for what God has done in our lives? Are we recognizing that God has brought us up from the pit? He has brought us up from the depth. Do we recognize that salvation alone comes from the Lord, and are we telling him that? Are we offering confession? Are we seeking to take the love of Jesus to other people? That's an act of worship. Are we worshiping God with our whole heart, seeking to show his compassion to others? Now, there might be some people here this morning who might say, Neil, this all sounds really, really good, but you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know what I'm currently doing. You don't know what I have done. You don't know how much I've messed my life up. You don't know how many mistakes I've made. And you know what? You're right. I don't know all of that. But as I look throughout Scripture, I see people just like you and me over and over again who mess up, who have to wade through a little filth, wade through some vomit of their own choices, and God gives second chances, and God offers forgiveness, and God gives hope, and he keeps calling, and he keeps saying, follow me, get up, follow me. I'm here to tell you, you have done nothing this morning that God cannot forgive in his grace. He is offering you a new life right now. He offered Jonah that new life. He offers that new life to us through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if he can save me, he can save you. We are all in need of the grace of Christ. Let's put our trust in him this morning. So I don't know what God may be saying.